One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Tonight I want to speak on this subject, blessed book. Blessed book. I want to preach to you on the book that's got all the answers. I want to preach to you on the book that's hated and despised by America more than ever has been before. It's so hated it's been kicked out of the schoolroom. It's so hated it's been neglected at the church house. It's so despised it's been forgotten in the home. People read newspapers far more than they read the Word of God, and then we wonder why America's in the mess she's in tonight. Now, folks, if you've ever listened to a message, and I don't intend and to quit preaching until God nudges me and says, now that's enough for one night. Yeah. I want you to sit right where you are and I want you to tune in. I want you to get on the frequency that I'm on so you can receive. Now, I don't claim to be real smart. I never was an A double plus or even an A pupil. I mean, very few A's I ever made. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just simply saying that everything I've learned, it came the hard way. And everything that I got from God, it came by faith. Amen. I mean, it's a gift. Wisdom is a gift of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberty and upbraid not, and it shall be given him. So you'll get it. You don't get wisdom by going off to college. You don't get wisdom by reading a bunch of books. You get wisdom by asking God for wisdom. And tonight, I've come to my only hope. This is it. And if you would refuse the truth that's in this message, I might as well pack my briefcase, throw it in the plane, and head for some other city. I mean, if you do not see what I'm talking about tonight, you're beyond help. I mean, there's no way on earth to have revival apart from what we're going to preach out of this book tonight. Now we're ready to start reading. Malachi chapter 1, verse 7. He said, you offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. He said, God's bread's not sufficient, it's not enough. That's what the word, that's what this generation said, hadn't it? This generation says the Bible's not sufficient. Besides, we don't need the Bible anymore. Much of it's not so, and it's out of date, and the Lord's table is contemptible. Therefore, there's only one thing we've done, and that's we put polluted bread. See, book reviews, essays, sermonettes, lectures, and all the rest, that's polluted bread. Now turn to the book of Zephaniah, please. The book of Zephaniah, verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Now in a moment, without me preaching on it, you can see that that's truth refused, conscience stifled, faith shattered, and fellowship broken. Right there in that verse. Now go on. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Now that's the political leaders of their day. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets, now look at this. Verse 4. This is Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 4. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests or preachers have polluted the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. L-A-W. You know what that is? That's the Word of God. Now, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, and they didn't have the letters to the churches. They've done violence to the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They have done violence to the law. Now, has our generation done that? Has our generation taken its little scissors of infidelity and clipped the milk veins of Bible truth? Has our generation decided that we needed to rewrite the Bible and rearrange the Bible? When our forefathers founded this nation and built this nation on one book, and there it is right there. Our Puritan forefathers lived pure and clean and consecrated and paid the price to build a great nation, and we've gotten away from the precepts of this wonderful Word of God. Now turn to Psalm 138. Let's see how much God believes in His Word. Psalm 138, we're going to take a little time to really read the Scriptures, and then we'll ask God to give us whatever He wants to say. 138th Psalm, what does the Lord say about His own Word? Verse 2, I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. Now then, if you'd like, turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And when you begin to read in the Word, on the Word, you'll be bogged down in a little bit, but we'll read at least a good many verses. Verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And yet, would you believe it if I told you that if I walked down the street with a Bible in my hand in Columbus, Georgia, many people would evade me because they think that's the mark of a fanatic. I mean, that's what you call one of these spiritual nuts. That goes the guy with the Bible right there. And yet I could come walking right back down the street with the newspaper under my arm. And they'd say, well, what did you think about so-and-so in the paper this morning? I mean, it'd just strike a conversation. Why? Worldly. See, this book is a book about heaven and hell and sin and salvation and salvation by grace. The theme of the whole Bible is salvation. Somebody said it's a book of religion. No, it's a book against religion. I know of no book that'll tap your religion like the Bible. Man can't read the Bible and believe it without losing his religion. And you never will get saved until you lose your religion. I was up in Columbus, Nebraska a good many years ago, and a fellow at the motel come walking out. He was the owner, the manager, and so forth. And he said, I tell you, that'd make a man lose his religion. Well, I said, that'd be a good thing. He stopped and looked at me and said, I thought you was a preacher. I said, I am. Well, he said, why did you think a man ought to lose his religion? I said, that's the best way in the world to find Christ. I can't lose Christ. I can't lose my Christianity. Oh, no. I had an experience. The Bible said, I know that whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. I got a forever experience when I got in touch with Jesus. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's your hard luck, not mine. I mean, I'm willing to offer you what I got because it's free and won't cost you a thing. It costs you a lot if you don't do it. All right? Turn on over to Isaiah chapter 48, please. Isaiah 48. And it's verse 18. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. You know what God's saying? He said, if you had hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. One of these nights, I'd like to answer the question, will we ever win another war? See, God's through with us, and I don't blame Him. I mean, God, I know you get mad sometimes, swell up, but listen, as long as a nation can drink as much liquor, shoot as much dope, break as many homes, and live as immorally, and be as full of infidelity, I'll guarantee you God's going to have to say, that's one of the nations I got to let go to hell. Amen. And the Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, and if America's forgotten God and believes she has, she's got to go to hell. Amen. You'd say, you ought not to talk like that, act like you won't know. I'm doing what I can to keep her from going to hell. There's a bunch of silly modernists that's not doing anything to get them out of hell. Amen. All right, let's read some more scripture. The 51st chapter and verse 14. I believe this speeds us up. This accelerates us a little bit. 51 and verse 14. The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. I thought about the city today, Brother Johnny. The captive exile, that's an alcoholic. He better get in a hurry. unless he dies in the pit. And you people that are here tonight, some of you women, you men back there, you haven't responded to the gospel. All you're doing is healing up a little bit, getting some free bread, free bed, and so forth. And you haven't got saved yet. You haven't got any testimony. You're not any more saved anywhere when you came to the city. All you're doing is just getting a little vacation away from the devil and sin and liquor drinking and dope shooting and immorality. You better get saved. He said to captive exile, better get in a hurry about this thing. You'll die in the pit before you know it. Oh, I beg of you to give your heart to Christ, to confess your sin tonight, and let Jesus save your soul tonight. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says, and now is the time. 2 Kings chapter 22, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 22. Now, this man said, I found the book. I want you to notice where he found it and how he found it. I believe this is true today. You know, one of the many questions we ask on the TV channels and newscasts and everything else is, where did he get your money? Must take a lot of money. Build buildings, dormitories, and feed dozens and dozens and dozens of people and never charge them a dime and take little old boys and girls and men and women. Why, a girl called me today from an institution up in Ohio, and she said, Brother Olaf, my mother told me about you, and some young people have told me about you and about your girls' home. I'm 17, and I'm here in an institution, and she said, I'm so confused, and she said, I just need help so bad, and would you let me come, and so forth, and I said, yes, get on the plane and come on. Meet us here in the campaign, and I'm looking for a call tonight or tomorrow, and she'll be coming in. Now, I believe she'll get saved. She said, Brother Olaf, I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of running. Said, I've been living with a bunch of old sorry fellas that are no good. And said, I'm just a young girl. And said, I know one thing. She said, I'm going to lose my mind if I stay in the institution. She said, this is not the answer. There's no Christ here. There's no Bible here. And she said, I long for somebody to take me. And what I heard about you girls, I believe if I could come and be with them, I'd get real help. Well, I believe that too. I believe it. And so you pray for her. But notice what he said in 2 Kings chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. Let them deliver it. No, verse 4. Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that's the preacher. Go to him and say, sum the silver which is brought in the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work. Now that's where I believe the money ought to go. If the church is doing the work, put it in the church. Somebody's doing the work of, now that's exactly, somebody said, well, where do you think I should put my money? It's none of my business. That's between you and the Lord. I mean, when it comes to me telling you, listen, brother, the Bible said they summed the silver and said, give it to the doers of the work. I believe any church that's getting the work of the Lord done ought to be supported by its members. But I believe any church that refuses to win souls and where the gospel's not preached, it ought to starve to death or burn down or get out of the business. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that sure keeps me out of a lot of trouble. God forbid that I should do evil that good may come. That'd be a good thing if all these liquor stores had closed, but God won't let me burn them up. And it'd be a good thing to get rid of a lot of sorry, dead churches, but I just have to pray for them. But I tell you one thing, a woman called me up, and I met her in Jacksonville, Florida, and she said, Brother Olaf, I'm going to church where the gospel's not preached. Nobody gets saved. Preacher can't even mock a preacher. And said, I never get my soul fed. I said, what shall I do? Well, I said, what would you do with you and your family if your house caught on fire? Well, she said, I'd get out of it. I said, you got the point. All right, verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I've found the book. Now, let me ask you this. Preacher, brethren, think it over. Where did they find the book? After they got rid of this dealing and hooping and hollering about the money business. Now, preachers, as sure as I'm a foot high, if me and you will live by faith, God will, he'll foot the bill. You don't have to, listen, if you keep the cobwebs out of the baptistry and you keep enough sinners soaked in salvation and then in baptismal waters, God will foot your bill. I never have seen a church go bankrupt that baptized a lot of people and won them to Christ and then baptized. Never have. And so I'd say this, they summed the silver. Evidently, they had some savings. You know, they had it stuck away somewhere. And I can't imagine people sticking up a bunch of money and not putting it to work for God right now. That includes churches and individuals. You're going to get credit, and you're going to be paid according to, your rewards will come according to what you've used, not what you've had. What you've used for the glory of Christ. And so God's people are to be diligent, and we're to be thrifty with what God has put in hand. Said, I found the book. Now then, what happened when he found the book? Revival broke out. They had a great revival. Where did the revival come from? From the Bible. Read the book of Nehemiah, if you will, the first 8 chapters. You'll find Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king, had a fine position. And Hanani came from Jerusalem and said, of course, Nehemiah and all the Jews were interested in how Jerusalem was. He said, well, it's terrible. Walls are down. City's been burned. We're exposed to the enemy. Why, we're routed daily by the enemy, and we're suffering. People are starving. Little children are hungry. And Nehemiah went into a fast and began to pray, and the king said, what's the matter with you? He said, why, you've got sorrow out. He said, sure I have. My hometown, Jerusalem, is ravaged by the enemy, and they're starving, and my kin people are dying. He said, what do you want? He said, I want to go back, I want to get a leave of absence, and I want to go and build the walls. He said, all right. What else you want? He said, I want some lumber. He said, give me permission to get some timber. He went back up there and walked over the city at night, built the walls, and then what did they do? They got Ezra the scribe. They began to read the Bible. They read it for 1/2 a day. Preachers, have you ever had a Bible reading revival? Most of us think we've got to preach a revival, don't we? Have you ever had a Bible reading revival? Just get in there and say, now, we're going to read the Bible next week every night. You come, and we're going to read tomorrow night. We'll read the book of Philippians. Just bring your Bible, read the whole book, get out and pray, and say, you're dismissed. Tomorrow night, we'll read the book of Jonah on how they had a revival down in Nineveh just by him preaching repentance. Tomorrow night, we'll read the book of Colossians, or we'll read the book of Romans. Well, you could read the whole book of Romans in time you'd preach a sermon. Read the whole book of Romans, get down and pray. Why go? I believe the Holy Spirit will bless you. I believe we need more of the Word of God given in our churches, in our homes. Read! The Bible said, blessed is the man that readeth. Revelation chapter 1, blessed the man that readeth. Blessed the man that hears. Did you know that? If you can't even read, he said, if you'll just listen to it. See, I'll let you get a blessing if we'll read and believe the wonderful Word of God. Well, there's some more scriptures. Would you turn back? We look like we're going back toward the first of the book. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Turn with me, please, to that 6th chapter. And it happens to be the 6th verse. These are words given in ancient days, but they're still good. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine head. No, he didn't say that. That's where people got it. And it won't do you a lick of good. Better get it in your heart. I know it's got to go through your head, but don't let it lodge in your head. Let it lodge in your heart. Your heart's where you're having trouble anyhow. Everybody's having heart trouble. I was born with it, and you were too. Bible said it was. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did the mother conceive me. I had a heart attack before I was ever born. You don't believe that? I was a sinner when I came in the world. I didn't get delinquent. I was born that way. You were too. People say, well, where's all this juvenile delinquency coming from? Well, first of all, it's coming from the devil, and it's coming through Ma and Pa. I mean, if you can't see that, you don't believe the Bible at all, dear friend. Why, listen, dear. I think I got something here that came from the crime, Minnesota Crime Commission. If this is not, I never dreamed I'd read this. Has the future of your child is in danger, they said. And so this is what the Minnesota Crime Commission has come and to this frightening and factual conclusion. Now, you talk about the write-up of the character of a little baby. This is it. I never dreamed that men like this sounds like the Bible, but you wouldn't think men like that maybe would say it, but listen to it. I've given it before, but I share it with you tonight. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants, when he wants it, his bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his grandfather's watch. Deny him these wants, and he sees with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. Would you like another stanza of that? You mothers, you know, that have such darling babies. Oh, the little angel. Now, don't forget the devil's got some angels. Listen, dear friend, no little baby is born an angel of God. According to the Bible, he's born an angel of the devil. That's what the psychiatrist and the psychologist won't take into consideration. Therefore, they have no remedy for sinful humanity. Unless he's a Christian psychiatrist, he has no hope. And I'll guarantee you, dear friend, it'll be a long time before I'll turn what mind I have over to an unsaved psychologist or psychiatrist. I mean, for me to let him take me in there and tell me to throw my Bible aside and quit praying and not be religious, I tell you, he might as well go jump in the lake. My only hope is in the Lord. My Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if he hadn't got a mind like that, he better not be thinking with my mind. Hey, y'all just breathe normally, because I'll be responsible for what I'm preaching here. Some of y'all act so strange. You think you're so smart to get to lay on a psychiatrist's couch. And you'd go get the shock treatment. Let me tell you something. If you'd listen to me, I'd shock the devil out of you and you wouldn't need to go. I believe that. And I'm not trying to act smart either. I'm just trying to tell you, listen, when I was born, we'd go to them old-fashioned camp meetings and them old brush arbor meetings, tabernacle meetings and fresh air meetings. And the preacher did all, he gave all the shock treatments back then. Man, I tell you, I've seen the time when them old murderers had walked the yard at night. I mean, they were under conviction. Let's read on. Talking about this little baby of yours. He's dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no skills. This means that all children, not just certain ones, are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in this self-centered world of his infancy, if parents gave him free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up to be a criminal, a thief, a killer, and a rapist. And that's what we got on our hands right now. And that's what the mothers and dads are bred to do. They've not given the word of God. They've not gotten them saved. They didn't bring them up to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they didn't train them up in the way they should go. And now then, we got that very thing on our hands right now. Your college students are the meanest, the most immoral, and the most murderous, and shoot more dope and commit more suicide than any bunch on the face of the earth. And you know I'm telling the truth. We've educated them away from God and away from Jesus and away from the Word of God. And we are a country filled with heathens today. Sinners. Because we got away from Jesus and His Word. Let's see where our life comes from. I like to live, don't you? I've lived all day today. I've been living ever since I got born again. I just existed up till that time. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so Moses almost said the same thing when he said over in the 32nd chapter and verse 46, and he said unto them, set your hearts. America's trying to set her heads, isn't she? Set your head. No, he said, set your hearts. Get your heart set. Old Solomon said, my heart's fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know what the Bible said, children? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this is the first commandment with promise. That's right. Did you know, mothers and daddies, if you do not make your children mind you that you're killing them? Did you know you're murdering your children? You take a load of that home with you tonight and think it over. And it's not natural for a child to obey its parents. They're born rebels, mean as the devil. They'll lie. Nobody teaches a child to lie. They'll learn to lie and cuss. And live in sin. They learn all the stuff that they ought not to learn. And mothers and daddies, it's up to us to... Why did God let us have them so long before they got gone? Why, a little old cat at 6 months will catch his own mice. A little dog at the age of 1 year will outrun a cottontail rabbit and eat him up. And yet a little child at the age of 5 hadn't got sense enough to put on his clothes or take a bath. At least want to take a bath. And what am I saying? God gave us these little precious bundles of life and kept them young and tender for a long time in order that we might train them. Really train them. You have your Bible, turn again to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is the longest chapter, 176 verses. The longest chapter in the book. The longest chapter in the book. It has to do with the Bible. Every word, every line of it, except three, mentions directly the wonderful word of God. He said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word's a lamp to my feet, and a lamp to my and a light to my path. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Did you know that's the answer to juvenile delinquency? Did you know the only way you can get your kids to behave themselves is put the word of God in their heart? Isn't it a sight how we've let the newspapers and magazines and television and rock and roll and a bunch of junk like in our homes and ruin our children when we ought to have been putting the word of God into them? You wonder why these little old girls sitting up here disciplined, why they've come through dope addiction, and why they've come out of immorality and filth and sin. You know why? It's because we put the word of God to them. They'll give their testimony along with 40 more before this meeting is over, and they'll tell you just one thing we've offered them. Our whole source of equipment is the word of God. I'm not talking about these little man-made shortcuts. Now, you'd say, well, that's because you're ignorant. I know it, but I'm the happiest ignorant fellow you ever saw. And God, in spite of my ignorance, has helped me to get a few things done and get some souls saved and homes built, and the bills have been paid and people have been rescued from the burning. And praise God, if He keeps on doing it, I'm going to stay with it. Oh, how horrible it is for people to be lost in sin. And without, this is a salvation book. No man preaches this book without getting people saved if he preaches in love and power and the Spirit of Christ. I want to say something else about this book. This book is a healing book. That's right. The Bible said He sent His word and healed them. What word did He send? As far as I'm concerned, sent this word.
Amen.
Preachers, we better quit this business to turn all our sick folks over to doctors and hospitals and drugstores. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you better find out. You're going to give an account to God for letting your people die without praying for them and preaching the book to them. You said you believe in divine healing? I didn't know there was any other kind. You say you believe in divine healers? No. I believe in a divine healer, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
You know what medicine He gives? The Word of God. What do you think He means when He said, now the just shall live by what? Faith? Reckon I put that in the book four times. I know, listen, one thing I've got to do in this meeting, if we're going to have a revival, we've got to challenge the faith of the people. I mean, if your faith doesn't increase, this meeting's a flop. I mean, if we can't get you to believe God's Word, we'll never get anywhere for God. And God's not going to bless anybody that doesn't believe this book. The Bible said He sent His word and healed them. You remember when the centurion came running to Jesus? And he said, my servant home, sick of the palsy, grievous, and tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come heal him. No, He said, you don't have to come. Put the word to it. Did you get that? He said, what? He said, well, just speak the word only. He don't need nothing but the word. Give him a dose of the word. Give him a hypodermic full of the word. Amen? Why, Jesus said, you can take all back home. I don't need me coming. Brother, that's faith. Where did he get the? In the word of God. And everything Jesus ever did, He did with His word. Folks, we've got to have a revival of believing the word of God. I mean, this is my lifeline. I can't live without it. Physically, I could not live. I could not live. Mentally, I could never stay together. I could never have a clear mind. And I know I couldn't have a pure mind apart from the word of God. Now, this is not only a healing book, this is a cleansing book. This is a cleansing book. He said, now you're clean through the Word.
Amen.
You know how many clean people in this auditorium? Only those that have been cleaned up by the Word of God. Every one of us without this is just as dirty as we can be. Oh, I know you may have on a clean suit and a clean dress and a new hairdo or a new wig or something else, but brother, without Jesus Christ and His Word, you're dirty. You got a dirty heart, you got a dirty mind, and you're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, and there's only one cleansing, it's the Word of God. Oh, if I could just get you to see all you need tonight. A woman called me a while ago on the phone from a distant state. I nearly said the city, but she'll hear the message when it comes back, and I wouldn't want her husband. He's a very mean man. She said, Brother Wolof, in tears, she said, could you use me anywhere? Well, I said, we look like have plenty of workers. She said, I listened to every day on the radio, and it just seemed like it'd be like heaven to come and be around God's people. Said, my husband, so mean, I'm scared of him, afraid he may kill me. Got two little children, I'm scared he'd kill us any time. Said, I got such an unhappy marriage. And said, my little children began to take on his ways of sin. and said, I'm just so burdened about my little children could have come. That story can be repeated thousands of times in just a few years. Everywhere you go, just sin. Daddies, you must be a pretty sorry fellow not to take care of your wife and little children, not to be kind to them. You were so sweet while you was courting her, you know. Oh, me. You know, you were just so gracious, and you took her out to eat, and you opened the car door, and you closed it, and you were so gallant, you know, and such a gentleman and everything, and then turned into a demon and a devil when you got her. Oh, listen, you need this book. That's what you need. That's straighten you out. This is a book of healing. This is a book that'll bring the right spirit. Did you know that? It'll give you the right spirit. If you'll believe this book right here. This is a book of strength giving. You need strength tonight? This is a book of quickening. This Bible right here. Why, dear friends, it's inexhaustible, indestructible, indescribable, unfathomable. I mean, there's no way in the world for a man to ever plumb the depths of the truth in this old book. The longer I read it, the more I study it, the sweeter and the richer and the deeper and the more wonderful it becomes. Fact is, in the last 20 years of my life, which we've seen our faith strengthened and enlarged, the last 20 years of my life have been the most marvelous years. That's when I started reading, a little before that, the Bible through on my knees once a year, memorizing many of its passages. And that's when I decided, live or die, sink or swim, survive or perish, I was going to live by the Word of God. I didn't realize what all it involved when I started down that road, but I'll tell you, it's been rewarding, and it's been sweet, and it's been wonderful. But I'll say this, dear friends, this book is all that you need tonight. The only way to build a church, if you have a Bible church, is to preach out of the Bible, teach out of the Bible, read out of the Bible. I'm not for all these, lot of these little helps that you get. I just believe we ought to stay with the book. Stay with the book. I really mean that. I tell you, I got misled and deceived and all that so many years until, the fact is, I didn't even believe in the coming of the Lord. I didn't believe in the coming. I thought that we was going to bring the kingdom in. That's what they told me, and I didn't have better sense to believe it. And I found out the kingdom was a coming, but it wasn't God's kingdom a coming. Oh, listen. And then, you know where I got it? I finally began to read the Bible. I just got to reading the Bible, and I said, look at there. That's not what they told me, but what they told me don't amount to much if it's contrary to what he told me. And so I just dared to believe it, and God began to open my eyes and give a revelation. You know what I did? I'm not bragging about it. I got rid of my library. Had a little old preacher come in one day, you remember? I said, you want this library? And boy, he said, oh, man, do I. I said, well, help yourself. Well, man, it wasn't but about an hour. He's up by the pickup truck. He hauled everything he could haul except my King James Version. I wouldn't let him have that. And that's all I've had. That's all I've had. I take two books in every revival, and that's the Crude and Concord and the King James Version, and it meets all my needs. Now, if you could come to believe and worship and love through the Word of God like I do, I believe all your problems would be solved. When I 20 years ago, I was sick when I started doing that. I was weak, looked like I was at the end of the trail physically, and the most strenuous years I've ever lived in my life have been the last fifth of a century. More miles have been traveled. I've flown 7,000 hours in a plane, didn't know beans about flying, ought to have been killed at least a dozen times. I mean, the most dangerous things I've ever done in my life, I've done. If I hadn't started living by faith, I'd have been dead by sight, sure as a world. I know. Oh, hear me, dear friends. This old book, see, God's not interested in how much I weigh or what I look like. He's interested in what I'm going to say. He wants me to deliver his message. And that's all I've got to do on these 70 radio stations is just to deliver the message. Just get the message out to the people. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Deliver the word. This whole book is to be preached. Now then, I'm asking you one question to close the message. Do you believe this whole book? Are you willing to read it? Are you willing to have a family altar? Are you willing to have a private time of devotional every day? Are you willing to memorize it? You boys and girls, are you willing to memorize it? You'd say, oh, Brother Olaf, I just can't memorize. I mean, I just can't do it to save my life. You can't? I ask you, when I was here before and I sent a tape to all the churches, please memorize Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Now, there are two or three classes of people listening to me, and I'm not fussing at you, I'm just reminding you. Some of you didn't even tackle it. You didn't, just like water on a duck's back. You say, oh, it's not for me. Man, I couldn't memorize nothing. Man, a whole chapter, I couldn't even memorize John 3:16. You ever heard that? You know, my old mind's failing me, man. I tell you, I just can't remember nothing. I can't remember my own name. I mean, you hear people talk like that. Would you like me to give you a good mind treatment tonight? The Bible said, let this mind be in you was also in Christ Jesus. And so I believe I'll take a little old bill out of here if I can find one. And I'm fixing to really, I'll do more than all the psychiatrists put together to improve your mind right now. I'd like to give that for each chapter you memorize. That's a $100 bill. I'd like to give $100 to the people that'll memorize the 51st Psalm and Psalm 1 and Psalm 8 and Psalm 19 and Psalm 27. And Psalm 100, and Psalm 90, and Psalm 121. And when you get them memorized, you come to me, and each one of you will get $100 apiece. $100 apiece. Now, if you memorize 50, you get $5,000. Now, I want to ask you one question before I act foolish any longer. How many of you really feel your mind improving? I mean, didn't that quicken your mind? I can say, well, some of you old boys are slobbering. Really. I mean, you just say, oh, $5,000. Well, I could get a car, I could get a new house, I could get, and you, all you women sitting there thinking about wall-to-wall carpet and, you know, those new shag rugs, you know, and all, why, you know, I'm not silly enough to give you what belongs to God for doing what you ought to do because you love Him instead of because you want a bunch of dirty money. See what I'm talking about? I'll guarantee you I'd have to spend at least $100,000 between now and next Sunday night just with this crowd here. Just get up and say it out loud. I'll guarantee you, dear friend, you'd memorize chapter after chapter. Let me ask you a question and then feel ashamed a little while. Don't you love Jesus that much? Don't you? He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. Isn't that enough reward? That I might not sin against God, that I may not grieve the Holy Spirit? That I might not be disobedient to God, that I may not live an immoral life, that I might not steal and cheat and disobey God. Wouldn't that be enough reward? Wouldn't that be worth more than $100 bills? Just to know that I'm living a victorious, overcoming life, and I have victory in Jesus, and it's all through the Word of God. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing tonight if I could get you to the Bible? I'm through, except for one man I won't tell you about. Let me tell you about two old men. Both of them are old men. One of them is a man by the name of Walter McPherson. One of the sweetest illustrations I've ever gained in my life. And this one's real, really real. I read about him one time. And then I went to St. Louis to speak to the Gideon International, one of the highest privileges of my life, to speak to 1,500 Christian businessmen that had gathered from around and across America and beyond, England and other places, had come to meet in the big auditorium in the hotel where they'd put me. And I was preaching day after day and night after night. And I was preaching along this line one night. And I said, Lord, will you give me a message to help the layman? They believe the Bible. And they put out a lot of the Word of God in hotels and motels and trains and planes and everything else. And so I said, Lord, give me a message. And then it dawned on me there was a man by the name of Walter McPherson. He lived in Kansas City. I was in St. Louis, 300 miles away, about that. And so I got on the phone. And I called him on the phone. Now, this is what happened to the man. When he was not too old a young man, he was older than the boys that were setting off a charge of dynamite. And he came upon them and said, fellas, look like y'all are not too well acquainted with setting off some charge of dynamite. They said, no, sir, we really not. Well, he said, if you boys will back away now, I'll do it for you because that I've worked a lot with dynamite and blasting rock and so forth. So the boys backed off. He didn't know that the fuse had already been lighted. They thought it had gone out. And before he could check into it and get it started and the thing blew up, he came to in the hospital. And he lay there for days in darkness. His eyes were bandaged. He's as black as night he ever saw. He couldn't see a ray of light. And the doctor attended him day after day, changed the bandages a little bit and rearranged them. And somehow or another, he never did let him see at all. But one day, he said to the doctor, when are you really going to take the bandages off where I can see some? I'm so tired of living in the dark. And the doctor said, I knew you'd ask me that, but your eyes are gone. There's no eyes left. He said, "You mean I'll never see?" He said, "That's right. Your eyes have been destroyed." Walter McPherson said, "I was only a Christian 1 year, just 1 year. Oh," he said, "I love the Word of God." First thing he said to the doctor, "Oh, doctor, I'll never be able to read another line of the Word of God." The doctor said, "Oh, maybe you can learn to use the Braille, the lifted, the raised letters, and you can read with your fingers." And yet, when he realized that the nerves to his fingers and hands, because of the grafting of flesh and the terrible injuries that had come, he couldn't feel anything with his fingers. And he read where a woman in England had learned to read with her lips the Word of God, the Braille. And he had his friend to get him a Braille edition and brought it and set it on his bed. And he tried to kiss his way through the Bible and found that the nerves to his lips had been clipped and he couldn't feel anything with his lips. He fell back on his pillow and said, "I guess there's no use." And the man started to take the Bible. He said, "If you will, just leave it here. Just leave it here." And so he left it there, and he learned to lick his way through the Bible with his tongue, leaving a bloody trail for many days as he figured out the letters one after another. I called that man on the phone, and somebody came to the phone, and I said, "Is Mr. McPherson still alive?" "Oh, yes," said, "he's still alive." I said, "I'd like to talk with him," and said, "Well, if you'll give me a little time, I'll go get him and bring him to the phone." And so in a little bit, a matter of a minute, 2 minutes, he came to the phone, and he said, "Hello there." And I said, "Mr. McPherson, I'm a preacher in St. Louis, preaching to some men tonight, businessmen. I wonder if you've got any word for them about the Word of God." "Oh," he said, "indeed I have." He said, "Tell them I'm 86 years old. I read the Bible through 3 times completely with my tongue, and I memorized many lengthy passages. I'm looking for Jesus to come in a minute, and tell them that if they want to know the Word of God, God will make a way for them to get it." Yes, I raise a question. Do you really want the Word of God? Do you realize you need this more than you do your next breath? Bow your heads while we pray. In a moment, I guess we don't have any song books, but I wish we could sing that old song that said, "Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life." I wonder tonight if you realize the importance of this message in your soul. Preachers, have you loved the Word of God more than you've loved your necessary food? Do you realize that your ministry is to be a ministry of one book? I wonder how many preachers are here tonight that need to meet me in the altar and say, "By your coming, by the grace of God, I'll be a preacher of the Word of God. I'll love it, memorize it, live it, preach it." You know the little old chorus that popped into my mind. Listen and pray while we share it. I used to hear my mother sing it when she said, "Mother's Bible, blessed book, precious book. On thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above." Well, it's a blessed book. It's a precious book. On thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home above. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name that the Word of God may find free course and run in every heart and be sharper than a two-edged sword and cleanse and purify, convict and save and convert and bring us to repentance concerning our relationship with the Word of God. Lord, knowing that you set your word above your name, and knowing your name is the most precious name on earth, I pray in Jesus' name right now that you'll give us a Bible revival and let it start right here tonight in each heart.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.